Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on real milk when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider. An insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press, and Swinton totally outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it, he said. And there's not one of you who dares to write an honest opinion, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists, he said, is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know that, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Unquote. Well, you know, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and the shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order. They are the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. Now, that's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers and preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing called real milk, and if you're titillated a little bit and you say to yourself, well, what is this real milk thing all about anyway? For most of you out there in radio land, you've never drank real milk. You've been drinking pasteurized, homogenized poison all of your lives. You're used to it, and it probably tastes good, and you love it. I mean, after all, it's what you're raised on. You get used to it, and that's the end of the argument. I can remember drinking pasteurized, homogenized milk for many, many years. After I left the ranch back in 1964, I lived in the city, and I couldn't get raw milk. And so as a result, I just went ahead and drank the homogenized milk until at one point in time, 1984, I had a heart attack. And, of course, my doctor at the time, his name was an old country doctor by the name of Melvin Lester, and he said, you know what's causing your problem here is that homogenized milk. So he put me on a diet. He put me on raw cow's cream. Can you believe that? This is a doctor. Well, not just an ordinary doctor. He was a medical doctor. He was a naturopath. He was a chiropractor. He was an iridologist. He was a natural holistic physician is what he really was. And he said, well, listen, son, the thing that plugged up your veins was the homogenized pasteurized milk. And if you want to unplug your veins, you drink raw cow's cream. Because raw milk has a medicinal value to it. That's right. Raw milk is a medicine. It can also be a vector for terrible contagious diseases when it's dirty. Well, boys and girls, we just saw that with spinach, for crying out loud. The other day, there was an E. coli bacteria on the spinach, and they had a nationwide recall on the spinach over there. What are you advocating now? No more raw spinach. What we need is pasteurized spinach. How about producing clean spinach? I know it's a radical new concept. Produce clean food. But it's pretty hard to produce clean food on an industrial scale. And we're trying to produce hamburger out of factories that can kill a cow and process it every 45 seconds. I'm not kidding you. A cow weighs 1,000 pounds, and they've got processing plants in this country that can produce one of those cows. I mean, from the time they kill it to the time they ship the box out the door every 45 seconds. Now, that's speed and efficiency. I don't doubt that. But that doesn't guarantee that the product's going to be clean. And we got the same process here, a product called milk. Now, there used to be a time when we went out. Now, I'm an old-timey butcher, and I go out and I kill a cow every once in a while. It takes me 5 hours to kill that cow, skin it, gut it, quarter it. And then it takes another, probably 36 to 40 hours for an old guy like me to cut it up and wrap it and put it in the freezer. But it's all clean, and then it's never USDA approved, never stamped with any USDA sticker. I've been eating it all my life, and I've got sick yet. And that's because I produce a clean product. My cows are clean. The meat is clean. And I'm pretty clean, and I try to keep my product clean. And, you know, you just multiply that over by thousands of little guys like me, and you get a pretty neat, clean product. Now, you start hiring people from on the other side of the Rio Grande River, and bring them up here, you know, stick them into a meat processing plant or into a chicken plant over there, and then start producing your meat, milk, butter, and eggs in these industrial environments. And all of a sudden, what do you get? You get E. coli. That's what you get. Or in the cases we're learning here of milk, you know, you get diseases and you get people sick from the pasteurized, homogenized milk, as I showed you the last time. Now, other than the greater infectious potential of pasteurized milk, are there other disadvantages to processed milk? Well, there's enough disadvantages to fill a few more chapters, but before we go on to other disadvantages of pasteurized milk, let's look at an example of the amazing protective qualities of raw milk, even when the raw milk is dirty. Jack Mathis is the president of Atlanta's Mathis Dairy, and he was invited to inspect the dairy at the Atlanta City Prison. They have a prison farm, and his job was to make suggestions for modernization. Well, he found the entire operation to be indescribably filthy. It looked more like an outhouse than a milking parlor. That was his first observation. The pathetic cows were in obvious pain, being milked by machines that were unattended. Manure was on the cow's hindquarters, and it was running over the teats and into the milking apparatus and into the milk. From the milking machine, the milk ran into an open 10-gallon can by hose. You couldn't see the top of the can for the flies, Mathis said. It was like a beehive with flies walking in and out of the can. Jack Mathis assumed that the milk was for the prison farm pigs, but it wasn't. It went directly to a cooler in the prison dining hall, complete with cow and fly manure and fly carcasses, where it was then simply strained and filtered, put back into the cooler, and then drank by the prisoners. No one had gotten sick for the milk in 10 years. That's right. No one had been made sick by that dirty, putrid milk in 10 years. What a case for raw milk. What a case for raw milk. But it goes further than that. One Friday morning when I was in medical school, a group of 8 farm workers who had been spraying vegetables were brought to the emergency department of the university hospital. All of them were dead except for one man. The one lone survivor lived only because he had been thrown in the truck upside down. All of the others had died of pulmonary edema. That means drowning from fluid in their lungs. The one lucky farm worker drained his lungs spontaneously because of being upside down, and so he survived. The chemical that caused this disaster is known as an organophosphate. You wouldn't want any organophosphates in your milk, would you? Well, many dairies are now feeding an organophosphate to their cattle, and this chemical known as Lancophus ends up in the manure and poisons the larvae of flies. Well, isn't that just real clever? Why maintain a clean barn when you can just dose your cows with organophosphate and then let the chemically contaminated manure poison the maggots? Now, what does this dosing with chemicals do to the cow and to the cow's milk? Well, the FDA tells us that it doesn't do anything. They've told us that before. Can you remember DES? Can you remember swine flu vaccine or Oraflex? Now, the average commercial dairy farmer is interested primarily in producing production figures rather than high-quality product. Those farmers who are sincerely concerned about the drastic decline in the quality of milk can do very little about it until the public demands a better product. Now, the farmer sells to a vast consortium and has absolutely no control over the final product that may look the same as milk. It may look and it may even be called milk. But biochemically, enzymatically, and nutritionally, it's about as close to real milk as non-dairy creamer is to cream. Now, the farmer wants pituitary giant freaks that produce their body weight in milk every 10 days. But the milk that comes from those milk-producing superstars may contain excessive amounts of pituitary hormones. The pituitary excretion affecting growth is called the growth hormone. This hormone may account for the fact that each succeeding generation of Americans for the past 50 years has been taller than their parents. This excess height, although associated with handsomeness and health in our culture, may actually be a sign of abnormal pituitary function due to excess pituitary growth hormone from milk. Bigger is not necessarily better or healthier. Now, the independent dairy farmer producing raw certified milk is interested in quality as well as quantity. And he knows that these abnormal milk producers are prone to be unhealthy and subject to infection, requiring the frequent use of antibiotics. As he doesn't cover mistakes and unsanitary production methods by heat treating the milk, the producer of raw milk is more likely to own normal, healthy cows producing less milk but without excess pituitary and other hormones. The pituitary also stimulates the production of sex hormones, and this could be a contributing factor as to the vast array of sexual problems that we see today in our society. Sodomy, sodomites, sexual dysfunction has become so common that the medical profession now has a separate journal just to deal with sexual dysfunction. And there is some connection, not yet entirely understood, between certain cancers and certain hormones. Pasteurized milk is apparently adding to the problem, as there is a relationship between certain types of cancer and the consumption of pasteurized milk. The pituitary hormone TSH stimulates the thyroid gland. If minute amounts of this pituitary hormone were to be absorbed daily from unbalanced pasteurized milk, depression of the thyroid gland would eventually result. Low thyroid function has become extremely common in the United States, and some experts estimate that 50% of the people over 50 years of age have some degree of low-functioning thyroid. Could milk from pituitary giant cows be contributing to this problem? Another hormone from the pituitary, called ADH, causes water retention. Two other hormones work directly on the ovaries and the testicles and may also contribute to several dysfunctions. ACTH, a powerful adrenal stimulator, can cause everything from diabetes to hypertension to Addison's disease, adrenal exhaustion, and acne. And through the process of chromatography, we now know that synthetic vitamins are not the same as natural ones. Oh, that's an interesting concept. Every once in a while, you know, they'll tell you, well, what's the difference between vitamins that are synthetic and those that are natural? And, of course, we're all assured by our government and by big business that there's no difference at all. They're chemically identical. And, you know, they're not lying to you when they tell you that they're chemically identical. They are. But that doesn't mean that they're the same. The organic and the chemical affect your body differently. And one is more beneficial than the other, and that is the natural is more beneficial than the chemical. Although they're chemically identical, one of them is alive and the other one's dead. And dead vitamins aren't nearly as good as live vitamins. That's the bottom line. Live milk is better than dead milk. Live food is better than dead food. It is true that peaches that are canned and dead are chemically the same as fresh peaches, but there's a big difference between a fresh peach and its vitamin content than that of a dead peach and its vitamin content. Same thing happens in milk, meat, butter, and eggs. The pasteurizers love to point out the vitamin content of their heat-treated milk, using this as an argument for equivalent nutrient value between natural, raw, certified milk and heated, pasteurized, and homogenized milk. But vitamin C, for instance, is higher in concentration in fresh raw milk than in heat-treated pasteurized milk. It is 33% more prevalent in raw milk. The pasteurization fanatics quickly point out that both are inadequate in vitamin C, and neither raw milk nor pasteurized milk should be depended upon as a vitamin C source. But if that is true, then why do babies that are fed pasteurized milk develop a scurvy-like syndrome, and raw milk-fed babies do not develop scurvy? Pottinger proved that there is yet undiscovered deficiency diseases similar to vitamin C deficiency that we label as being scurvy that can be cured by giving an endocrine product that contains no vitamin C. Raw milk has this unknown nutrient, and pasteurized milk does not have it. Stephenson, a famous Arctic explorer, demonstrated that a supposedly adequate intake of vitamin C in the form of tomato juice did not prevent scurvy in an Arctic sea captain, whereas just a few days on raw meat cured him completely. As shown by Pottinger, raw milk, if it had been available, would have accomplished the same thing. Now, it was pointed out in 1942 that the cows of the country produce as much vitamin C as does the entire citrus crop, but most of it is lost as the result of pasteurization. Let me just pause here and make an observation. Let's suppose that it is true that raw milk and pasteurized milk are not a complete source of vitamin C. And let's suppose that the milk produces about one-third of the vitamin C that you need. And if you pasteurize the milk, it destroys about two-thirds of the vitamin C contained in the milk. Would you then conclude that we should pasteurize our milk because we're not depending upon milk as a source of vitamin C? Or would we conclude that we would be better off getting 100% of the insufficient amount of vitamin C that's in the raw milk, and then get the other two-thirds of the vitamin C that we need from citrus or some other source? Well, I'm in the latter group, and I would prefer to get all of the vitamin C available in the raw milk to start with, even though it isn't enough for my daily needs. It ain't enough. But it's one-third of what I need, and I'll get the other two-thirds somewhere else. Whereas the pasteurized fella, he comes along and he says, well, Gordon, we don't want you to drink that raw milk. That's bad for you. And we've decided that pasteurized milk is better for you and that you ought not to have that choice. And since there isn't enough vitamin C in milk to start with, the fact that our pasteurized milk has even less vitamin C than the raw milk means that you need to get your vitamin C from some other source. So what he's telling me is that I've got to get 100% of my vitamin C from citrus, which means I got to spend more money on oranges now, doesn't it? Because if I drank the whole raw milk, I could have gotten a third of it from the milk, and I would be able to get the other two-thirds from the citrus. I could have saved about one-third of the money that I'm spending on the other sources for vitamin C and put that in my pocket. I mean, if the guy that's selling the pasteurized milk would let me make that choice. Again, I point out to you that that's a wild new concept in America, freedom of choice, but I thought I'd throw it out there for your consideration. Today, the losses in commercial pasteurized milk are even greater. Jack Jensen, Ph.D., Clemson University Department of Dairy Science, studied the vitamin losses in milk stored in translucent plastic jugs and exposed to continuous fluorescent lighting. This merchandising practice is standard today in most supermarkets, and Jensen found that at least half of the vitamin C content of the milk was destroyed after 24 hours of the light exposure. Okay, now let me pause right there. First of all, you take the milk and you pasteurize it, and you lose one-third of the vitamin C. Then you put it into the cooler, and you expose it to fluorescent light, and you destroy 50% of what's left. How much is left now? Let's see. If we had 100% and destroyed a third, and then we're down to 67%. If we take 67 and then we divide that by 2, now we're down to 33%. I mean, granted, the stuff doesn't have the full daily need of vitamin C anyway. Doesn't supply all of it. But do you think that by destroying two-thirds of it, that it benefits you in some way? I don't know, kids. This is the kind of crap that we get out of the colleges and universities and out of the big government and big business interests. That's what they're telling us. I would contend that you don't really have to be, you know, a Rhodes Scholar or something there to figure out that there's something wrong here with this line of reasoning. An interesting additional finding of the Jensen study was that the fluorescent lighting caused a light-induced oxidized flavor. Taste tests of Clemson students revealed that they preferred the oxidized taste and accepted it as the real taste of milk. The work of Fredberger is interesting, or intensely interesting in this regard. Fredberger found that heat treatment actually caused deficiencies not caused by vitamin destruction. The vitamins were certainly destroyed all right, but animals on the heat-processed product with vitamins added still reacted adversely, just like those not receiving any additional vitamins at all. And again, the reason for that is that they're giving them artificial vitamins. Now, food comes in two forms, live and dead. Two forms for food, live and dead. Processed food is dead. Live food hasn't been killed yet. It's going to die when you eat it, but it needs to be live when you eat it. In fact, cancer is called the cooked food disease. Cooked food disease, that's cancer. And if you want to get over cancer, you get off of cooked food and you go back to live foods, and the cancer will go away because the live foods will rebuild your immune system and your immune system will destroy the cancer. And that's the way God designed it. That's the way the game is played. It's the only game in town. Now, if you want to play the other game, you go down here to Marcus Welby, MD, at Mercy Medical Center, and you cut the tumor out. And 37% of those patients survive for 5 years or more, and they call that a cure. And if your cancer goes away, and then you live for 10, 20, or 50 years, I would call that a cure. Now, here's what pasteurized, homogenized milk can do to you. In Chapter 11, we report on how raw milk and immunized raw milk often can give great benefit to the sufferer of rheumatoid arthritis and other diseases. Notice that's raw milk. You also need to know what the wrong kind of milk can do to you. Now, it's a chilling fact to read the findings from the Korean War, which vividly illustrate the degeneration of American youth. Of the young men killed in Korea back in the early 1950s, autopsy examination revealed that 12% had at least a 50% blockage of the arteries of the heart. 5% of them had blockage of 90%. Now remember, these were young men in their teens and 20s. Now, do you think we have a problem? We're in the third generation of degeneration, like Dr. Pottinger's experimental cats. Now, skim or low-fat milk may cause degenerative arthritis, also called hypertrophic or calcific arthritis. Calcification of other tissues, such as the pineal gland, arteries, and kidneys, may also be caused by drinking fractionated skim, non-fat milk. And there is a little gland right dead center in the skull called the pineal gland. P-I-N-E-A-L, pineal gland. And we were taught in medical school that the pineal gland was unimportant, as it had no function. Well, one of those little mistakes of evolution, we were told. Well, ancient philosophers thought the pineal gland was the site of the soul. Organized religion has taken a stand against this theory, and a recent scientific investigation has revealed some other uses for this pineal gland. Now, this little gland is often calcified, even in young people, but as it had no function, nobody really cared whether it was calcified or not. However, today we now know that the pineal gland is extremely important in light of physiology and hormonal regulation, especially in women. Calcification of our arteries is called arteriosclerosis. The joints, when we get this arteriosclerosis in our joints, we call it degenerative arthritis. And this important gland may be due to the excessive intake of fractionated milk, for example, skim or low-fat milk. On the advice of physicians, millions of people have switched to low-fat milk under the mistaken belief that avoiding the milk fat will enable them to avoid hardening of the arteries. However, drinking fractionated milk may cause exactly the opposite effect. Many other millions are drinking low-fat milk to avoid gaining weight. This practice, combining a low-carbohydrate diet and skim milk, is used by most of the popular weight reduction clinics around the country. Now, do you know how a farmer fattens his hogs? Well, he feeds them skim milk. That's the way we fatten pigs, skim milk. Well, let me turn the page right there and give you a reminder, and that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, and if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, the opinions, the beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, while we're on the subject of promotion here, why don't we promote The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized by William Campbell Douglas. That's the other half of this week's report on real milk. And if you'd like to get a copy of that book on The Milk of Human Kindness by Douglas, I think you can get a copy. I'm not positive, but I think you can get a copy from Acres USA. Now, Acres puts out a hell of a newsletter. And it's a monthly, and it costs about $30. And if you'd call them, they'll tell you more. I'm sure they'll give you the details of what the subscription price is. And they put out a catalog on books on ecology, ecological farming. I mean, they're kind of like Rodale. I say kind of, they're not the same, but you know, kind of. And they promote this thing of GMO-free food and labeling packages and free choice. I guess that would probably brand them as being right-wing, radical, reactionary, lunatic fanatics. Well, okay. But the last time I talked to Charlie Walters, he was still advocating free speech, freedom of choice, crazy lunatic things like that. And that kind of caught my ear, kind of caught my eyeball, and I thought, well, that's kind of the way I see things also. I'd kind of like freedom of choice. And so that's why I recommend Acres USA, because Charlie Walters is one of those old codgers, you like me, you know. Could still remember when we still could demonstrate, we could still exercise free speech and tell people, I don't like that, go to hell, you know, things like that. Our new governmental apparatus doesn't allow that. Hell, you can't even demonstrate in front of the president anymore. You got to be over here in a corner, out of sight and out of mind, so you don't interrupt his speeches. Well, anyway, this is Acres USA, and they got a phone number. It's 512-892-4400. 512-892-4400. They're in Austin, Texas. If you don't get the numbers, call information in Austin, Texas. Tell them you want Acres USA. I'll bet you they get a number. And in this May 2006 edition, there was an article in there. And then this lady, name is Sally. Sally something or other. Farragon or something. Taint Farragon. I don't want to insult this lady. Now she'd get mad at me. See, Sally something or other. Sally Fallon. F-A-L-L-O-N. And then she runs an outfit. They're in Washington, D.C., and they've got a website, and it's called realmilk.com. And the thing that caught my eye about this realmilk.com, Sally Fallon, real, R-E-A-L-M-I-L-K.com. Let's go to their website, is that they've got a list of all of the organic, well, I shouldn't say organic, I don't know if they're all organic, but they're raw milk producers in the country. Raw milk producers. Now, there are raw milk producers, and then there are chemical raw milk producers, and then there's organic raw milk producers, and so you got to decide, you know, what you want to buy. Now, I personally want organic raw milk. Now, you might not be able to get that. But she's got a list of the raw milk producers of in every state in the union. And that's the thing that caught my eyeball. Why don't you go to that website, realmilk.com, and you can probably find a real milk producer fairly close to you. A lot of times people call me and say, where in the world am I going to get raw milk? And I tell them, I don't know. Why don't you call Acres and ask them if they know? Well, now they finally published the source. It's called realmilk.com. All right, we're talking about utter propaganda, chapter 2 or 3 here in this book here by William Campbell Douglas. Says the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized. Let's see now if I find my spot here. Yeah, let's see here. Utter Propaganda, Chapter 4. Let's see if I'm caught up here to where I was. Okay. Investigation revealed 25% of the population of Crossroads didn't get undulant paver. Nope, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Hang on here. I lost my spot. That's what I did here. Well, here's what pasteurized, homogenized milk can do to you. Pasteurized, homogenized milk. In Chapter 11, we report on how raw milk and immunized raw milk often can give great benefit to the sufferer of rheumatoid arthritis and other diseases. Well, you also need to know that the wrong kind of milk can do something real bad, terrible, awful, and evil to you. So when we took the break, we're talking about this little thing called the pituitary gland. Well, when Wolfson calcium dystrophy syndrome, did you get that one? Wolfson, W-U-L-Z-E-N, calcium dystrophy syndrome, may sound a long way away from your local fat farm, but it's closer than you think. Wolfson did her classic experiments in the 30s, and her results have tremendous clinical significance in human nutrition. But like Crew's work with milk therapy, they have been largely ignored. Wolfson reported that guinea pigs fed fresh raw milk thrived, and then at autopsy showed no abnormalities of any kind. The test animals that were fed pasteurized milk did not grow well, and they consistently developed a highly characteristic syndrome, the first sign of which was wrist stiffness, a form of arthritis. But far worse was the effects from pasteurized skim milk. These animals not only did not do very well, they became weak, they became emaciated, and then they died. First, they developed the characteristic wrist stiffness and then muscular dystrophy. Autopsy revealed severe hardening of the arteries and calcification of other soft tissues. In humans, this syndrome is probably manifested by calcification of the joints, which we know as degenerative arthritis, hardening of the arteries, cataract, and calcification of that important gland called the pineal gland. Woltzen postulated that there was an anti-stiffness factor in the cream portion of the milk, and she later proved that this factor is a steroid, a cortisone-like chemical, and if the animals were fed raw cream or a carbohydrate, the wrist stiffness would be reversed. Okay, now remember what I reported to you boys and girls when I had a heart attack. Old Doc Lester put me on raw cream, raw cow's cream, and in 90 days, cleared it out. 90 days. Now, of course, that's just me. Now, lack of carbohydrate will increase the symptoms, and this may be highly significant in our diet-conscious and forever-reducing population. Now, you know, there used to be a time in America when we weren't fat and obese, when we were in good health, and we weren't on a constant diet. That was about 100 years ago. The nation wasn't fat. The patient was healthy and vibrant. 60% of us were symptom-free as late as 1918. Today, only 1% of us are symptom-free. We've been drinking pasteurized milk, homogenized milk. 90% of our food today is processed. That is, it's dead. So 90% of our food supply is now dead. Cancer has increased from one person in 33 getting cancer in 1900 to one person out of two getting cancer. That's 50% of us now going to get cancer at some point in our life in 2006. And we could go on and on, you know, with these bad statistics. But, you know, hey, kids, what's that telling us? Now, again, you know, in case you thought that I'm here advocating a healthy diet. No. Forget that. No. I'm a reporter. I just report facts. I don't make recommendations. I don't eat at McDonald's and I drink raw milk, but I don't recommend that you drink raw milk or that you stop eating at McDonald's. I used to smoke and I quit smoking, but I'm not advocating that you quit smoking. I used to drink a little excessively, and now I moderated that down. I don't drink near as much as I used to. I'm not advocating that you stop drinking like Kent Hovind. Now, on the other hand, you know, there's a point that I think is well taken by the American Restaurant Association. They said people are responsible for their own actions. And if they want to eat at McDonald's and turn themselves into fat pigs, that's a choice that they have to make. I couldn't agree more. Now, if you want to eat at McDonald's, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I think anybody in America, if you've been reading Reader's Digest or U.S. News and World Report, hell, even Katie Couric makes reports every once in a while about fast foods and trans fats and, you know, it's a choice that people have to make. It's a choice like choosing cocaine or heroin or marijuana or Marlboros or raw milk or pasteurized milk or McDonald's or Brussels sprouts, you know. We all have choices. What I'm advocating is freedom of choice. I'm not here telling you that you should or shouldn't smoke. I think you ought to make that choice for yourself. Even God Almighty Himself requires that you choose. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He says, hey, I'm going to set before you good and evil, life and death, good and evil. I'm telling you, choose life. It's going to be better for you. I'm telling you, choose my law and my lifestyle. Choose the Ten Commandments. It's a better program. But the mere fact that he gave you the right to choose, you know, we can choose between the Ten Commandments and the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. We Americans have made our choice. Communism is our choice by acclamation. We went a step further. We banned the Ten Commandments from our public schools. We have made a wall of separation between our public and private institutions, and we threw the Bible, God, and the Ten Commandments out. It's a choice. We made it. Well, now, of course, you get some side effects that come from that. Some of us have taken a look around and said, well, I'm not sure that these side effects are near as good as they were advertised to be. That's where you're at here with this skim milk-fed animals develop testicular atrophy with complete sterility. Let me repeat that. Skim milk, the stuff that you buy in the local grocery store, skim milk-fed animals develop testicular atrophy. That's why you men out there can't get it up and you have to go to get Cialis or Viagra. Skim milk. With complete sterility. Listen, if that's what you want, it's available down here at the local Kroger store. It's in the dairy case. It's called skim milk. Buy 2 gallons next time. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I thought I would report that there might be 2 or 3 of you out there that don't want that side effect. Male sterility is a major concern in our country today, and the skim milk fed may be a major contributing factor. The test animals also develop severe calcification of most large blood vessels, anemia, and high blood pressure. Another characteristic of the syndrome that may be of significance in human medicine is the development of calcium deposits around the bone openings in the spine that provide for the exit of nerves. Oh, God, here's another one of those words, boys and girls. It's spelled S-C-I-A-T-I-C-A. Let's see if we can take a stab at it here. Sciatica. Sciatica. Let's try it. Sciatica and other nerve compression syndromes may be caused. Now, I don't know why this doctor couldn't just say nerve compression syndrome. Let's try that one. Boys and girls, if you have nerve compression syndrome, it may be caused by this nutritional deficiency. Also, a decrease in hearing leading to complete deafness was consistently found. Did you hear that? A decrease in hearing leading to complete deafness was consistently found as a result of skim milk fed animals, which developed testicular atrophy with complete sterility. Now, I thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. Now, how much of Wolfson's findings in guinea pigs apply to man isn't known. Well, there's your out. Shucks, just because it happens in guinea pigs doesn't mean it's going to happen to me. That's why I said, go down and buy 2 gallons next time. How much of Wolfson's findings in guinea pigs apply to man isn't known, but the implications are too ominous to ignore. People who drink skim or low-fat milk and millions have switched are usually calorie and weight-conscious people, so the skim milk they drink plus a low-carbohydrate diet may be contributing to the extensive calcific degeneration we now see in so many patients. You know, people, they get off on these diets. See, they go down to McDonald's and they eat this high-fat diet. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but God told us in Leviticus 3, verse 17, he says, don't eat fat. Got that? Fat. F-A-T. Don't eat that. Bad for you. Now, it tastes good. And you know, here in America, if it tastes good, that's the deciding factor as to whether or not it ought to be in our diet or not. So, if it tastes good, sugar, fat, and salt. Sugar, fat, and salt. Three things that really taste good, so we put that in the hamburger. Sugar, fat, and salt. Now, that tastes good, and so we eat it. Now, it makes us fat, and so we need to do something about that, and so we drink skim milk. Then the skim milk makes us sterile, and so now we've got to go to the fertility clinic and buy Cialis or Viagra. Come on, kids. Is there any reason, logic, or common sense left in this country? Now, I told you I had a problem there 1 years ago, and I fortunately ran across a doctor who said, hey, listen, I'm gonna make a recommendation here. Drink whole raw cream, 1 cup a day, every day. So I came down here to the farm, started milking the cow, drinking the cup of cream. Typically every morning when I have breakfast, I like cereal, and I put cream on it. Whole, raw whipping cream. That's what I drink. That's what I put on my cereal. Along with with a whole raw honey, you know, not pasteurized or homogenized and so on. Critics say that just because we see this calcification in guinea pigs doesn't mean it'll happen to people. A Dutch chemist, William J. Van Wagtendorck at Oregon State College, confirmed the Wolfson findings. He found that guinea pigs with calcification of the tissues could be relieved with raw cream. Haha, did you get that? All right, so here, you want to test this, let's try it. Go out here to McDonald's and drink skim milk and eat McDonald's until you plug up your arteries. And if it doesn't kill you, then go out and drink raw cow's cream. Now, I want to emphasize this, kids, because if you go down to the grocery store and you buy pasteurized cream, that should expedite your death. It should kill you in 30 days or less or double your money back. So it's got to be raw, raw. I don't know if you understand the word R-A-W, raw. That's not pasteurized. Can't be heat treated. And that's because there's a special enzyme. It's called the miracle of random selection for you evolutionists out there. For the rest of us, it's called special creation. And when God designed this cream, he put an enzyme in there to digest it. You got to have that enzyme. When you pasteurize it, you kill the enzyme. But if that enzyme is alive in live food, for most Americans, this is a dirty word, but live food, if you'd eat this live food, it would melt the plaque out of your arteries. And that's what it did in my case. And that's what this Dutch chemist, William J. Van Wagtendorck, at Oregon State College confirmed when he tested the Wolfson findings and found that guinea pigs with calcification of the tissues could be relieved with raw cream. Okay, so let's underline that word raw cream. It's on page 37. The active factor is killed by pasteurization. Let me repeat that. The active factor, that is the enzyme, is killed by pasteurization. Professor Hugo Kruger of Oregon State University again confirmed Wolfson's experiments. And he proved that there is a definite connection between pasteurized milk and stiff joints, which eventually leads in experimental animals to muscular dystrophy. All right, kids. What causes muscular dystrophy? Let's hear it from you now. Muscular dystrophy. What causes it? What leads to muscular dystrophy? Pasteurized milk. Now, with all of this evidence indicating that pasteurized milk, especially skim, will turn you into stone, wouldn't you think that nutritional leaders would be promoting raw milk? No. No. Douglas, you dummy. Nutritional leaders would not be promoting raw milk because they get paid off by the dairy industry, just like politicians do. Now, let's think about this pragmatically. Now, you're in the dairy business, and you produce dirty milk. And it's killing people, and we've got to have a solution to this problem. So you go to the legislature, and you have the legislature enact a law. You just create the law that you want. It's written right here by Mid-America Dairies. And they go to the legislature and they say all milk has to be pasteurized and homogenized, and if it isn't, the fellow that sells raw milk is a criminal and needs to be locked up and put in jail. And so that becomes the law of the land, and that's what we live by. Now, the results of that, it eliminates the infectious diseases like typhoid fever and cholera. But it gives us muscular dystrophy, it gives us sterility, and it gives us heart attack and stroke and arterial and atherosclerosis and on and on and on it goes. And it kills 10, 20, 50 times more people, but it sells more milk. And veterinarians and nutritionists and dairymen and dairy people and medical doctors and all the people that benefit from all of this bad health and make a profit off of it are going to recommend that you drink pasteurized milk. As old Dan Rather used to say, you know, follow the money. Follow the money. Now he goes on to say here, granted, most of the experiments have been done with experimental animals, but as the great French physiologist René Dubos said, from the point of view of scientific philosophy, the largest achievement of modern biochemistry has been the demonstration of the fundamental unity of the chemical processes associated with life. In other words, if it happens in guinea pigs, it's going to probably happen in you. R.D. Briggs of the Pathology Department of Washington University School of Medicine, reading that the British had reported a higher incidence of heart attacks among persons with chronic peptic ulcers, hypothesized that this increased incidence may be due to the treatment, specifically the ingestion of large quantities of milk, and the large quantities of milk are pasteurized. Got that? I'm going to underline. Large quantities of milk. Probably pasteurized. Briggs and his associates undertook a statistical study of 10 medical centers in the United States and 5 in Great Britain. They compared the incidence of heart attacks in ulcer patients taking a sippy, pasteurized, homogenized milk and cream diet with those not using pasteurized, homogenized milk. Their results were startling and unequivocal. In the United States, patients taking the sippy diet had a threefold higher incidence of heart attacks. In England, the heavy pasteurized, homogenized milk drinkers had a sixfold increase in heart attacks as compared to the non-milk drinkers. And so right away, some vegetarian now is going to send me an email and say, see what that meat and milk does to you. I mentioned this once before. God told you that there's certain animals that you can eat and certain animals that you can't eat. That's contained, by the way, in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, for those of you that are biblical scholars. And he said, eating meat's good for you, troops, but eating horse meat ain't good for you, and don't do that. He also told us not to eat blood and not to eat fat. Now, he's strangely silent about pasteurized milk. There isn't anything in the Bible that I could find on pasteurized milk, and I looked diligently. I don't think that it even entered his mind that anybody would be so dumb as to take a raw, live food like milk and then kill it by boiling it and then think that was good for human consumption. But in America today, with our colleges and universities and our degrees after our names and letters, we've come to that conclusion. I got to put an arrow right here. I'm out of time. Put an arrow right there, and we'll be back tomorrow, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this pasteurized milk. And then I want to finish this up by telling you about ice cream. Ice cream. You're not going to believe this ice cream story in this book called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. So why don't you go to, remember this website, realmilk.com, realmilk.com, or call your local bookstore, Used or Barnes & Noble, and see if you can get The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized by William Campbell Douglas. I think you'll be glad you did. All right, I got to give you a final reminder here, and that is that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, just go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.